I'm just going to open us up with a word of prayer and then I'll go straight to the message. So, Father God, I thank you. I give you praise and glory and honor for what you're doing in our country. I thank you for the revival that is here, oh God, and I thank you for the expansion of the revival. I thank you, Father God, for President Trump and what he is doing in our country. I thank you, Father God, that you are exposing the corruption and the bloodletting that is taking place in our country with abortion and human trafficking. I thank you, Father God, that you're bringing an end to these things. And it's so unfortunate the level of exposure it takes to bring an end to them. But we thank you, Father God, for these things. I just have to give you praise for these things, O Lord God. I thank you. And Father God, as we come before you and go to your word, and I share this really brief vision that you gave me yesterday, and just talk about this, Lord God, and what you put on my heart for our young people. Lord, I just pray that you would settle things around us. Settle things around us, Lord God, that we can focus on your plans and your purposes for our youth in this hour. That we can focus, Lord God, even as the night progresses, on the importance of prayer and really pressing in on these issues. And we thank you, Lord, that you are answering our prayers. That's the beauty of our time together. We get to give you praise for what you've done because of these precious and faithful intercessors who come alongside us. And we thank you for this, Lord God. I pray, oh Lord God, that you would just unpack and bring your revelation to us tonight. Give us even greater understanding so that we can fight for our young people like never before. In your precious and holy name, amen. And so yesterday morning, I woke up really early and I saw this activation, this word activation that just scrolled in front of me like on a marquee, you know, and the words just kind of scroll across. And I saw activation, and then I saw activation key, and then I saw this almost like a code in there that I was a little blurred. And I, you know, it when you wake up to something like that, it wakes you up. And you're ready to go, and you're ready to go to prayer. And so I was there, and I was just seeking the Lord about this activation key. And he began to show me our young people. And I shared this vision, and I'll share it again in just a moment, but I shared it a couple of weeks ago about our young people. And I'm, you know, I've been just tremendously burdened for the youth. You know, I've got 4 kids, 7 grandkids, and I've been tremendously burdened for the youth. For some time, you know, I know their friends, and you know, my own kids have had their own problems, and so I've had a really heavy burden to see this next generation rise up and take their place. And so, as I laid there before the Lord, and with this activation key on my head, I was seeing these young people that the enemy continues to try to use to destroy the country. And then I was remembering what the Lord keeps telling me and the visions he's given me for the young people. He has the answer. That's the thing. He has the answer. that will unlock their hearts, that will unlock their minds. I firmly believe this younger generation, their minds have been shackled by the enemy. And that we're coming into a time where the Lord is going to insert the activation key, and it is literally going to unlock these shackles, and it's going to fall off their minds. And when that occurs, and I believe we see it taking place, you know, we have the walk away movements, and we have these people that just were, you know, hard leftists. And when they see what's happening out in this country, and they see the party that they had once signed up for, the Democrats, and they see what they're doing and how they're working to destroy the country, they realize they didn't sign up for that. And it wakes them up. But I believe there's going to be this massive insertion by the Lord of an activation key. And that we are going to see a mighty walk-away movement coming, where they're not just going to walk away from the Democrat, but they're going to walk away from a socialist, cultural Marxist, you know, which is really all tangled up in communism. They're going to walk away from that ideology. You know, we have, and I'm thankful that the Lord has really gotten a hold of Gen Z. And I believe that Gen Z, and one of the reasons why we see this particular generation so on fire for the Lord, it is the most pro-life generation that we've seen in, you know, since Roe versus Wade in 73. This is literally the most pro-life generation. And I believe that is because their birth and their life coincided with God raising up intercessory prayer ministries. You know, when our ministry came forward as an intercessory prayer ministry, I mean, my mom had been ministering for some time, releasing, you know, prophetic words across the world, honestly. But when the Lord called her to raise up a prayer ministry in 1999, and she really pulled back on the travel and focused on the prayer ministry and doing the work of the gatherings. And that is the generation I'm talking about, since the work of the gatherings. And we were a rarity in that day. Now, many other prayer ministries have arisen since that time, but you know, I really believe that she was a trailblazer in this. And you know, Dutch Sheets, he's another trailblazer in this realm. And so this generation that we see rising up as pro-life, I believe, is a result of the nation being blanketed with prayer and the repentance that's gone forth over the bloodletting of abortion and other things. But that's what's created a pro-life generation, and that gives us a piece of that activation key. It's prayer over the generation. It's prayer over the nation. What unlocks them and prepares them to run with the vision, if you will, is prayer. And when God raises up an army of intercessors willing to stand in the gap, that this generation that's going to follow us would run the race and run it hard and fast and complete it. You know, when God raises those people up, we see the beauty and the fulfillment of it in a generation, a Gen Z. And I'm so thankful for them. I'm so thankful because whenever I look at the youth and I feel this heaviness, which is, frequently, I think about this Gen Z and how pro-life they are. So apart from, those pro-lifers and those, that are rising up, I'm going to look at a couple groups of these young people. And I'm looking in this age range of say 16 to 40 even. And there's a couple groups that fall in that. We have our aimless, the aimless, and then you have those activists. And I'm going to touch on both of those because they are both destructive in their own way. We have this group really that have been aimless and they don't have direction. And years ago, and I've done this message, I think I've done this message twice because the Lord asked me to do it a second time, but the message was entitled Wanderers to Warriors. And it's a vision, an experience, literally an experience where the Lord showed me what the Israelites went through as they crossed the Jordan and passed the Ark of the Covenant. And as they went through the Jordan and passed through the Ark of the Covenant, where it was located, something happened that literally transformed them from within. It's like it transformed them down to the cellular level to take them from wanderers in the desert to warriors who would take the land, who would take the covenant, take the promised land. And it had to be something that was so profound. God had to do that in them. He had to do it in order to equip them. They may have been training in the desert under Joshua, and they may have been, and God would allow these battles to take place in the desert just to keep their skill set developed. But as far as real full on, go and take the land battle from, oh, by the way, giants. They hadn't really been doing that. And he had to engage them because there was still that level of fear. Their parents, because of their response, they didn't get to go over there into the promised land. But for them, it was a new day for a new way. And God was transforming them from wanderers to warriors because he was going to need them to be fully activated and fully engaged. He was going to take this group of nomads and give them a home. That's what was happening. They were going to transition. They went from a people in bondage to a people who were wanderers to a people who were activated and engaged to take the land. It was a supernatural thing. And I believe that our aimless, this aimless sect within this generation of 18 to, say 40. And, the millennials get a bad rap. And I've got a millennial who works with us in Colorado. She's amazing. She's a millennial. She's on fire. My daughter's a millennial, and she's a go-getter. We've got millennials that are amazing, that are activated. And they do, unfortunately, the millennials really do have a bad rap, but there's many of them out there that are totally engaged. But there's many who are aimless. It's like they're a people without a home because they haven't fully anchored themselves in God. They've been on the fence. And they have felt uncertain about life, about purpose. Many of them were born during the time that, the church was essentially, we were past the Jesus movement and we were essentially just waiting for the Lord to come back. We had the big revival and now, oh, wait, okay, so everybody get ready. Jesus is coming back. So looking for purpose and future wasn't ingrained in them. And I believe that's played a part into the aimlessness of our millennials. And so we need to be praying for that group, that aimless group, to be activated with purpose and with destiny. And people get freaked out when you use words like, you know, destiny. But the reality of it is, Scripture talks about this. You know, God told Jeremiah before he was formed in his mother's womb, he knew him, and he called him to be a prophet to the nations. Before he was formed in his mother's womb. That's destiny. That's purpose. God prophesied to Isaiah about Cyrus 200 years before he was born. That's purpose. That's destiny. God already had things in motion that would bring Cyrus forward because he was going to release the captives to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. That's purpose. That's destiny. And we have to stop being, you know, all queasy about things that we don't quite understand and recognize that God orders our steps. God has formed us in our mother's womb. God knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew us. He knew our children. He knew each generation that would follow, and he knew exactly when they would be born, and he knew what they would be experiencing, and he knew exactly the circumstances that he would have to scoop them up and out of so that they would be activated for his kingdom work. He knew it. He knew that these millennials would be out here wandering aimlessly and that there was going to come a day that the activation key would be inserted in their hearts, in their minds, in their spirit mans. And when it was, they would be so engaged for the kingdom of heaven. They would run and not grow weary. Because they would have looked behind them and said, I've been wandering for far too long. It's time for me to take my place. He knew. The enemy has worked very hard to take credit away from God. But the truth is, God knew every person that would be born the minute they would be born. He knew when they would be conceived. He knew how long they would be in their mother's womb. And he called them to the purpose and the intent of their lives before they were formed in their mother's womb. And he knew the moment the activation key would be inserted in their hearts and their minds, and they would step into the kingdom work and partner with him to bring forth his heavenly will here on earth. God is going to scoop up these wanderers, these aimless ones, and activate them. It is going to happen. And we need to pray for them. And those millennials who have already been activated need to be praying for their generation as well. Then we have those activists that are on the streets with their, protesting everything. Honestly, we call them social justice warriors. They're really cultural Marxists, whether they realize it or not. And they find purpose in fighting for things, fighting for those that are oppressed, fighting for those that cannot fight for themselves. I mean, they're not going to fight for the unborn, but the preborn citizens, they're not going to fight for any of those. But they are going to fight for a woman's right to abort her baby. They are going to fight for the minorities. They are going to fight to see DEI implemented. They are going to fight for the environment. They're going to fight for the spotted owl. They're going to fight for the sea turtle. They're going to fight for the coyotes up in the woods, but they will not fight for the preborn citizens of this country. Because they've been misguided. There's something that happens, and I've done actually a lot of research on this because I do have such a heart for this generation. There's something that happens in the minds of a person, 18 to 24. You can even stretch that because we're moving to such maturity, but 18 to, say, 30, where that frontal lobe is, it hasn't quite been developed. So during this period of time, it's being developed. And they've done studies, they've studied, the Waco crisis and the Jim Jones horrific massacre that happened. It was Jonestown, I think it was, in 78. And then the Waco siege, where people come and they're involved in these cults. And they've studied the mindset and this time period. That when you reach into the lives of a, say, a high school, college age person, you can actually convert them at that time, and they become on fire for whatever they've been converted to. So, radical Islam will do this. You'll see these really crazy cults rise up, and it's because they've grabbed hold of these young people at this period of time in their life when their brain, that frontal lobe, is still forming. And that's why they, honestly, it's part of why they get them involved in the military over in Israel. That's at 18, they serve in their military. It creates this sense of patriotism for the country, a love of the country when you've served for, in the military for the country. And so that's why, that when they're out there doing the college campus stuff, they've also, got the military there. We'll help pay for your college if you'll come serve for 2 to 4 years. But they can get them activated. You create activists during this period of time. And when you do, they really will run with what they've grabbed hold of. It's a wonderful time, honestly, for a person to hear the gospel, because that's the period of time they're going to actually get truth and run with it. You'll see a lot of young people that come to know Jesus and they're on fire for him during this period of time, this age range in their lives. They will be on fire for him. They will go into mission fields no one else is willing to go to, because something within them has been activated psychologically and in their spirit man, something is activated. But when they get activated into like a cult, It's a dangerous thing because they'll do anything that leader says, including harming other people or themselves. When they get activated into something like cultural Marxism, where they become those social justice warriors, they will get in your face and fight for things, and it won't even always make sense how you can fight for the environment and not fight for those that will live in the environment, like the preborn. It doesn't make sense to us, but something happens in the brain. And that's the direction they'll run. They don't see the error of the ideology that they're running into. And make no mistake, cultural Marxism, Marxism, communism, these are ideologies. But the Lord is going to get a hold of them too, because they are already on fire, but they need his intervention to redirect them. We see this with radical Islam as well. I mean, that's their military force. The youth are very passionate people, looking for purpose. And if you tell them destiny doesn't matter, they're going to find their own purpose. And if they're not given a directive that takes them on a path of God, they could really go down a very dangerous path. And we see this. We see this with Antifa. We see this with Transtifa, which is every bit as dangerous. In fact, as much involved as Antifa in the violence that we see in the streets of Portland, Seattle, and so on. If you look at, I was watching some of these debates between like Ben Shapiro, and they do a debate like 25, you know, liberals against one conservative. So Ben Shapiro's done it. Michael Knowles has done it. Charlie Kirk has done it. And Ali Beth Stuckey, I think is her name, she's done it. And, you know, and I've watched some of this. And one that I looked at recently, they asked what a woman, because they were talking about the trans issue, and they asked, what is a woman? And, you know, we all remember what's his name's movie that came out, Matt Walsh, and you know, what is a woman? But I took note of this because in here, and it baffled me to hear student after student make this statement. And when they asked what a woman was, every one of them said this, that it is a socially constructed role with behaviors, activities, and expectations associated with femininity and masculinity, that it's not based on DNA or, you know, anything like that. It's not based on biology. In fact, that gender is separate from biology. And as I listen to these students, these young people, one after the other come forward and repeat the same thing, I thought, this is insane. This is truly insane, because they're saying it with such conviction, really believing that biology and gender are two separate things. That you may have the biology of a man, but the gender of a woman. Because gender is socially constructed. And they, I'm telling you, they believe it. When you remember when they were going through the confirmation hearing with Ketanji Jackson, and I read an article about this, and I'm gonna quote from that article. It was a 2022 USA article, and it was on the issue of what is a woman. And they are literally bringing in the experts to answer this. Experts, okay? And this is what the article says. Science does not provide a simple definition of woman. The complexity of gender identity and biological sex is multifaceted, encompassing various aspects of such as anatomy, physiology, genetics, and psychological factors. While biological sex is determined by chromosomes and anatomy, gender identity is a personal and subjective experience that can vary widely among individuals. The distinction between biological sex and psychological gender or physiological gender is also recognized, with some individuals identifying as women despite having male biological characteristics and vice versa. The complexity underscores the need for a nuanced understanding of gender that goes beyond binary classifications. Now, there are people in universities that teach gender studies. So it teaches you how to be a gender, a socially constructed role, how to fit into society in a socially constructed role. There are people that get paid a lot of money to teach our children how to step into the gender of their choosing, not what was assigned at birth, but the gender of their choosing, and students are taking them. In fact, in some universities, it's a required class. Gender studies is a required class. That is the insanity of what we see taking place under cultural Marxism through our academic institutions and reinforced by media today. That's what we are contending with as intercessors. So when we're looking at the various levels of activism, and what they're fighting for, and how we are to unlock through prayer their activation code, their activation key, as given by the Lord, that's what we're contending with. But the Lord said there is an activation key for them too. He has a plan for them too. Now, Harmeet Thielen, she is the Assistant Attorney General in the Civil Rights Department at the DOJ right now. And she had a practice for civil rights before she went to work at the DOJ. It's a nonprofit. It's still running even without her presence right now. But Andy Ngo is a journalist, an investigative journalist, who went to Portland during the riots that took place, the many riots that took place, and Antifa nearly beat him to death. His brain had swelling on it because he was just reporting on it, and they would take milkshakes from McDonald's and put cement in it and stir it up until the cup would harden, and they threw these at people, and he was among those that were hit with it. Now, he has continued, he recovered, but he has continued his journalistic efforts, and she had him as a client when he was attacked. And through her investigation and her fight on his behalf, they have come to learn that many of these Antifa people are actually Transtifa people. They've got the masks on, and they've, you know, got their helmets on, and, you know, got their riot gear, really, on. But many of them are taking cross-sex hormones. And she has found, in the cases she's handled, a direct correlation between this violence that we see and those that are taking cross-sex hormones. She's bringing in experts to examine this even further. So we're living in a society, Obama opened us up for this while he was in office, and Biden just shoved it right over the finish line. And Pelosi, you know, waved the flag and supported it financially and through legislation that she pushed through Congress while she was at the helm, to engage in gender reassignment through, even if they couldn't do it physically, to do it through pharmaceutically. So we have a lot of violent activities taking place by people that are transitioning. Often it's men transitioning into female. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've had 4 kids. I have 7 grandkids. I went through this. I've watched my daughters go through this. When you get pregnant and you have a child, first of all, when you get pregnant, it thrusts your body into hormonal chaos. Once you have that baby, your body is thrust back into hormonal chaos while it readjusts. Just that little shift of carrying another human being thrusts your body into hormonal chaos. Imagine if you suppress your natural God-given hormones. And not only are you suppressing it, you are thrusting into your system the hormones of the opposite sex. What that does, not only to your body, but to your mind. There are women that suffer. Brooke Shields was, you know, a very famous one who suffered from postpartum depression with both of her children because the hormone shift was too much for her body. And it thrust her into unbelievable depression. When you change what God has ordered and you start inserting into that body that God has ordered to be one gender, another trying to force it to be another biological gender, the psychological ramifications of that still are not fully known, but we are seeing violence. Not only that, it is leading into weird fetishes out there among our college-age kids. This whole issue is what thrust and led to the killing of Charlie Kirk. So we can't say this is a non-issue, a phase that'll pass. This is going to have to take, because they are literally altering their bodies. This is going to take God. If you've ever listened to any of the stories of those detransitioners, Jordan Peterson has done some interviews, powerful interviews, with those that have detransitioned and what they went through. Testimony of those people is on the Hill. Why? Because what it did to them, and they're crying for Congress to pass legislation to block that kind of stuff from happening in children. This is going to take God to intervene. I have a nephew on my ex-husband's side, and he's actually gay. And he's just the nicest kid that you'll ever meet. Very smart. He knows 5 languages. Very, very smart. You know, he actually lives in another country. But I knew him when he was little. But when I spoke with him a few years ago about this very issue, he said, those people that are subjecting their bodies to that are crazy. They have no idea the long-term ramifications of what they're doing. That's coming from somebody in that quote-unquote community. But when God says he has the activation key, he's saying he has the activation key. We can be angry with them. We can be hurt with them. Or we could be offended by them because of what they're doing. We could be truly disgusted by those that are doing the, you know, story hour, drag queen story hour. We could feel all of these things. And yet we're not going to reach into their lives with the kingdom of heaven as long as we're carrying that kind of offense in our heart toward them. And I think that's where my burden is. How do we look across the landscape of our nation today and see how our young people have been either put in this aimless state or put thrust into this chaotic activist state? And how do we as intercessors intervene? What is the activation code that the Lord is saying is there? You know, I do know he's coming. I know he's coming and he's going to visit them. I'm going to share a dream with you, and then I'm going to share a vision with you, and then I am going to just read a scripture. The dream I had, and I shared this a couple weeks ago, I awoke from a dream. I saw 2 military groups marching in the streets, one for the Democrat regime. And see, this ideology, this cultural Marxist ideology, because they know they can't take America because America is a Christian nation. So they had to go through the culture. And that's why they have introduced these things through the educational system, is to try to change the nation from within with our youth. It's called the destabilization of a nation. We've talked about that before. And so that's the Democrat regime, this kind of stuff that we're seeing. And then the second group was for the Islamic regime. They were all young people who'd been radicalized. And I saw so clearly on the pages of those backroom deals that I talked about a couple weeks ago, the flow chart that led to the funding of these agendas. So this is for us for prayer. But there's another element here that I want to talk about. So they marched like soldiers in the streets. They were emotionless, which is surprising since both of these regimes play on the emotion to provoke followers. These are social justice warriors and radical extremists. I was trying to speak to them, weaving in and out of their drill lines, but they were on autopilot, marching in lockstep, immovable. And the Lord appeared, and when he did, the spirit of rebellion appeared before my eyes. It was horrific and honestly captivating. And the Lord spoke, go. One word from the Lord, go. And it screamed and vanished. Then the Lord grabbed hold of a covering that was over our youth. It was black but transparent in nature. He tore it in two, and as the material tore, it disappeared. The youth literally blinked and shook their heads. And it reminded me of the vision he gave me in 2020 about the youth in the corral, which I shared about 3 weeks ago. And the youth fell on their faces immediately and began to weep. And see, that tells me there's going to come a moment he's going to intervene in their lives. Are we going to be ready, and are we willing to continue praying for them while we await that moment? That is a question I have for all of us. But as they fell to their faces, the memory of why they were there and the things that they'd done as part of their movement played out on the screen before their eyes, which is why they were weeping. In addition, what really broke them were the images of the funders, the instigators, and the actual intent behind their movement. They really had no idea what they were following or the devastation it was doing to their generation. They thought they were saving society, and they learned they were being used as weapons of warfare against society, and it broke them. The next one is the antidote, and that was the bow and arrow of our Lord. This is a vision I had in February of 2023, 2.5 years ago. I saw the Lord with a bow and arrow in his hand. He pulled back the bow and shot the arrow, and it pierced right through the minds of our youth. When it came, with it came the antidote and the deception. Oh, with it came the antidote to the deception that they're in today. This antidote spread through their minds and penetrated every part of their thoughts and emotions with the power of God. Clarity and understanding began to wash over them as the cleansing agent within this antidote flooded their bodies. Relief set in as their thoughts began to connect with what they know in their hearts to be true. The conflict, the rage, the frustration all dissipated as his shalom and truth began to wash over them. Anxiety melted away, fears and insecurities lifted as they finally embraced their Heavenly Father as the one true God. And this is something that I had forgotten until the Lord brought this back to me. There was an orphan spirit over our youth, and this antidote broke that orphan spirit. With it broken from our youth, these young adults were restored and became the vessels of his justice they were created to be. The vision ended, and I just wept before him. Now, this whole week, I have been reading and rereading Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. So I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to close. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6, 4, 4 through 6, actually. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart. This word love is a verb. and it requires action. And we know from 1 John 4 that we love him because he first loved us. And he began the covenant process to bring us back into the fold. That is the purpose of Jesus coming, living a sinless life, and dying that horrible, wretched death on the cross, and rising again. That's the purpose. That's the fulfillment of covenant, and that's to bring us back into the fold. He died for them too. He died for every activist. He died for every aimless. He died for those young people that are searching for truth. He died for those violent protesters. He died for those Islamic extremists. He died for every youth that you look out there and shake your head at. He died for them too, to bring them into the fold. So when I say to you, he said, the activation key, it's here. It is the love of the living God demonstrated through the eyes, through the mouth, and through the action of his children that bring them back into the fold. That's what sets those captives free. He's coming with his antidote. He's going to break that spirit of rebellion off of our youth. But what they need are people who are waiting with open arms to say, I'm here to pray you through to victory. And until that release comes, and until they're set free, until those shackles are unlocked and broken off of their minds, we as intercessors must continue to pray them through. The Lord said, when the lawyer asked him, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who was the neighbor in the example, the parable? The Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans were enemies. And yet that Samaritan did what the Jews would not. He's saying, pray them through to victory. Don't give up on my youth, because I'm coming for them. If you can get 7,000 kids in an arena and have them give their life to the Lord and be ready to be baptized, if you can fill pickup trucks full of water or horse troughs full of water and get those kids saved and baptized on the spot, let me tell you, those kids are ready for a move of God. And when God saves them and delivers them and sets them free, it'll be because of the prayers that have gone forth on their behalf by the intercessors. And on the other side of their conversion, and as they're detransitioning, and as we're praying for miracles for them, because they would have changed their entire appearance. Some of them might be sterile. Some of them might get cancer because of these drugs. What are we going to do? Are we going to be the outstretched hand of our Lord to reach into their lives and love them into wholeness? Pray them into wholeness. I believe the activation key rests in the intercessors. It rests in the love of God, and it rests in the love that we will extend out to those who are drowning in a lost and dying world. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your heart for our young people. I thank you for your love for them. Every time I pray for them, my heart just cries out with agony. Yes, I feel your love for them. I feel your heartache. I feel even a drop of what you must feel when you look down upon them and long to see them set free. Lord God, let us, the intercessors, not give up on them. And let us continue to pray them into victory. In your precious name, amen.